It's Thursday, July 26th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central, show number 785, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Our July special, get.coms for just $4.95. Purchase up to three domains, use code 495GEEK, and that is the absolute best deal on the entire planet. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, folks, you know what comes next? Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go-fly.
Microphone.
We're go-fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go-fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran, and I want to give a warm welcome to all of our Ohana, all of our longtime listeners. Thanks for being here. Thanks for staying subscribed. Of course, if you're a new listener or viewer to the show, we want to thank you for checking us out for the very first time, and hope that you enjoy the show today. And the format's pretty simple. I'm going to do a little bit of a warm-up tonight, talk a little bit about what's going on around here, and then we'll get into a whole stack of tech content. Of course, I want to encourage you to take some time and get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out all the great content on the website. We got some great writers over there, Ohana members, folks that support the show that are basically doing a lot of great blogging. So definitely go over and get subscribed to the standard blog RSS feed, or just, you know, come to the site daily and give things a look. Of course, if you want to subscribe to this show, it's real easy to do. You'll find information there in the second column of the website. That gets you all the RSS, iTunes, Zune, Marketplace. Of course, there's a newsletter link as well. The newsletter contains everything that I'm going to talk about during tonight's show. And that's emailed immediately following the show, so that you'll have that in your inbox. Basically, as soon as you you get it, so you know that the show is up and produced and ready for a listen, so you can follow along. That works out really great. Of course, if you want to reach me on Twitter, you can do so at Geek News. That's best place to send me a quick note. Of course, you can email me geeknews@gmail.com. That's for more lengthy comments. Of course, we always encourage you to comment on the show, send links over that you found, really kind of just provide feedback, positive and negative. It really helps me in shaping the show. You know, after 785 episodes on the march here to 800, more than ever, it is really, you know, because I can almost get into like this battle rhythm, right? And the grinding out shows, and of course in Hawaii here, grinds is food, but, you know, grinding out shows for you guys to chomp down on. And just want to make sure we're staying aligned with the core focus of the show. And of course, it's summertime, so I know many of you are out doing summer things. But we try to keep you enhanced on what's going on in the world of tech so that you're not falling behind, even though it's a great summer vacation time. But, hey, thanks for being here. And, of course, if you got if you want to call in and complain or make a comment, you can do that via our hotline at 619-342-7365. And, really, that's the best way to get connected up the show first and foremost. I want to take just a second here and want to thank our sponsor, GoDaddy.com. Of course, we got this great promo going on right now where you can get .coms. Basically, it's a $4.95 deal where you can sign up and get up to three .coms at $4.95 each. That's the best price on the entire planet. I guarantee it. Again, but if you need more than three, they do go up to $7.99. But pick up three domains. And of course, if you're looking for hosting accounts, we've got those available as well. But really, when you click on the link in the show notes, it's going to bring you to the website. It's going to show you the details, and you get, you know, basically it gives you the restrictions. But again, it's $4.95, and then check out everything at GoDaddy.com, all their great products and services. And again, all my promo codes, I've got a stack of them for you there, a code for every occasion. Geek5 will save you 15% on any order, $20 or more. Aloha will get you $20 off any order $75 or more. Central will get you $10 off any order $50 or more. ComSail 3 will get you $8.49.com renewals. ComSail, of course, that's the normal special price on .coms is $7.99, but definitely make sure you take advantage of that $4.95 special. That is ending soon. End of the month, that's it. End of July, that code is gone forever. So enjoy your other discounts at GoDaddy.com. Of course, make sure you get over to GeekNewsCentral.com and check that all. And you can find all the codes at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. And we want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. Hey, I don't know if I mentioned it on the last show, but we started a promotion with Adam Carolla, the Adam Carolla Show. I'm pretty excited about this one. He's promoting Zeusk. And at Zeusk.com, of course, if you want to get involved, then Adam's got a great special at Zeusk.com/Adam. And definitely check out what's going on there. So again, single folks, if you're looking to make a friend, definitely check out Zeusk.com/Adam. Well, how many of you made an update to your Mac? I updated one machine, the machine that's sitting here to my right. And, that's interesting. Time Machine could not make a backup to Time Capsule. Well, we'll have to look and see what's going on there. But all upgraded, and basically I started the download and hit a couple of degree marks once it got done and then left the house and came back to a rebooted machine, and it seems to be operating fine. I haven't had any issues, but just going to kind of play with one for a few days and use some of my core applications that I have to use with my Macs. And we'll be doing basically getting them updated here little by little. Now, one thing I am going to do, and I don't know if you guys can see this or not, those of you that are watching down here, my wife is basically still harping on me to kind of make sure everything's really kind of organized here in the studio, and she doesn't like a lot of stuff on the floor. But I've got one laptop down here that pushes the secondary stream off to Ustream. And it's basically, you know, sits here and cranks away. But she said, why don't you, because she liked what I did with the Mac Minis and putting those up underneath for the Skype machines. So she says, why don't you get another Mac Mini and stuff it up underneath there where I don't have to see that, you know, basically sitting on a file folder cabinet. And she says, why don't you do that? And I'm like, well, I hadn't planned on it because, you know, really trying to maintain the budget sphere here. So we may be making a change down here. Haven't decided if I'm going to do that yet or not, but that's one thing she wants me to do. Got a little problem with the earphone tonight. It's clicking in and out on me a little bit. So I'm sure that's going to be an ongoing bother. Oh man, it's doing it right now. And you know what happens is I'll tell you what I've done is I've got a cable here that's hooked to the chair and then it runs back to the actual to the mixer, and typically that cable will last about 6 months because I start running over it with the wheels of the chair, and you know, really I don't have a much better way to do it besides the way I've done it here. So every 6 months I have to cut that cable off. Basically I've got it spot tied back there so I can hook in the headset and rerun another cable because I can tell the cable has gotten wore in one spot. It's not cooperating, so I'll have to probably do that this weekend. Hey, we're up on Amazon tonight on the live stream. Basically, I did this to myself. I went through and reviewed all of my domains a couple shows ago. And the show that when you're watching the live show, those of you that stay up and watch late, when you're on the live stream, that basically is running on a separate domain. And I accidentally I said, oh, that one's not forwarded anywhere. And I forwarded it back to Geek News Central. So I completely thrashed the DNS record for Amazon. And, when I kind of figured it out on the last show what I had done, I got that fixed. But we're up and running on the mainstream on Amazon tonight. And the picture is beautiful as always. All right, we wanted to give away a new prize tonight. And of course, I have no idea what is in the prize because the kids wrapped everything up. Our first winner, Jeremy Thompson, who got the first lot, number 22. We have not heard from Jeremy. Shipped off his prize, so I'm hoping he's going to call in and say what he got so we can mark one off the list. But our second winner is William Radcliffe, and I don't know where William is from, but he is, we draw basically a lot number. He got lot number 7. So, William, we're going to send you an email for your address, and we'll get this out to you post haste, and then we hope that you'll email the show and tell us what you won. I do want to thank the new insiders to, or basically insiders, some of the insiders to Geek News Central. And I want to thank Mika. I want to thank James, Bo, Ken, and Ken. So two Kens, Luke, Alan, Richard, Jeffrey. I want to thank all you guys for being insiders here. And that really helps out the show a lot. It does, showing your support each month, basically with a donation to the show. And those of you that feel like we deserve it, you know, after 784 episodes or 785 episodes, I hope that you'd consider it. You start off at $2 a month, and that, that's $2 a month. You know, you're probably, it costs you $5 for a cup of coffee, these days in Starbucks. So $2 if you would, or $5 a month, that would be great as well. GeekNewsCentral.com/insider. Hey, very full weekend, fast approaching. And so it's going to have a Saturday morning tech. So I definitely want you to be here for that. And I've got to get our guests lined up, but we'll have them on the big screen back here with the green dinosaur for the Ohanasaurus. Hey, Sam, I've gotten a couple of comments back. The one of the guys said, hey, why doesn't the Ohanasaurus have a piece of tape on his glasses back there to keep the glasses on? And I'm like, I was surprised the audience member was actually able to inspect the graphic good enough to know that. But we'll have a couple of guests on Saturday for that as well. I do want to say also, I told you guys I was working on 3 big deals. I am so close to signing really the second deal. It's very close. So we're excited to get that moving forward. And then number 3 is getting closer. Just one of those things that we do just to keep things moving here. But hey, I want to thank everyone, of course, for being part of the Ohana here and supporting the show in a big way. And I want to get into the tech here just in a few seconds. But the first thing I want to do is I want to talk about our good friends over at GoToMeeting. I'm going to tell you, this is a product that is an arsenal in my business toolbox that I absolutely, unequivocally could not live without. I've used this product now going on 7 years. It's gotten better and better. Of course, the HD Faces feature is fantastic. But what I'm finding is when I'm trying to hook up meetings, and right now we're in the big CES, basically trying to go out and find sponsors and doing pitching and stuff. So when I'm trying to pitch media buyers and they're on vacation and they got a little time to do business from time to time, GoToMeeting works real well. So meeting all of your colleagues and clients in person this time of year can just really be totally impossible. So that's why, again, I recommend GoToMeeting with HD Faces. It lets you meet face-to-face no matter where you are this summer. So with GoToMeeting by Citrix, it takes just a webcam and a clip to collaborate and group HD videos. You can even join from an iPad, and that's really cool. You can see your attendee eye to eye while collaborating on documents in real time. And, you feel instantly connected. It really works, even if you're 1,000 miles apart. Plus, GoToMeeting is just simple to use. It's easy peasy. iPad users just download the free GoToMeeting app to join as well. And again, basically, the iPad app, you get an email, says, let's join a meeting. And this will work on Android too. You click on the join the meeting link. It loads the meeting. You're in and you can see, you can see your people you're talking with right on your iPad. And as a listener, you can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Don't wait for this special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com. And this is real easy, folks. It really is. Let me show you this. You visit GoToMeeting.com. You click on the try it free button. And then enter the promo code podcast. That's all you have to do. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the try it free button, and use the promo code podcast. Yes, be sure to use that promo code. And I don't think you guys will forget it, but thanks for being a supporter. And thank for Citrix for being a great sponsor here at Geek News Central. Okay, let me go ahead here and make sure my list is complete. It is. And let me go ahead and save that. And we'll go ahead and open up Chrome and get into the first article. I'll be honest with you. When my headset is messing up, it drives me. It's one of those things. It's like a pet peeve. And I'm sitting here, for those of you that are watching on the video, I've got a cable in my hand and I'm like wiggling it. And all I'm hearing is static in my left ear. Driving me bonkers. So I guess I'm just going to have to be driven bonkers until the end of the show. Adversity in podcasting. All right. This is going to blow everyone's mind. Google Fiber is here. And this is what you need to know. This is incredible. Google's launch, it's Fiber to the Home network today. And the pricing of this is going to make you fall out of your seats. Google's Fiber network will cost $70 for internet only and $120 for Fiber Plus TV. Okay? Fiber Plus TV. It's a amazing deal. And here's the details. The Google Fiber Plus TV is going to include symmetrical gigabyte, yes, 1 gig up, 1 gig down, as well as a newly launched Google TV product, which will include local channels, integration with YouTube, Netflix, as well as what Google is calling fiber channels. Now, you're not going to get all the channels, it looks like, that you would get from a traditional TV channel, such as ESPN. But the package includes, and you have to pay $300 for an installation, a Nexus 7 tablet, which is going to be the remote control for the TV. You also can get a traditional Bluetooth remote. You're going to get an iOS app. You're going to have a variety of sleek black boxes, such as Wi-Fi routers. You're going to have a 2 terabyte storage box. This will all come with the package. And plus, you're going to get a free terabyte of storage in the Google Cloud Locker G Drive. Again, only $120 a month. Now, sadly, those of you in Kansas City that are going to get to enjoy this, it's only for consumers at this point. There is no business product. But this is going to tremendously undercut internet access business of Time Warner, AT&T, which are the dominant ISPs in the area. Now, here's how they're going to roll it out. And this is even better. They've got what they call fiber nodes, 800 homes in each fiber node. So you're going to have to go out and say, hey, this is coming. $70 for internet, $50 for TV, $120, 1 gig up, 1 gig down. Up enough of us pre-order, our area will be the first to be turned on. So they're going to compete with areas and who's going to get it. So in other words, if 600 of the 800 homes say, yeah, we're in, then boom, your neighborhood's going to get it first. Now, can you imagine the Time Warner folks? They must be flipping out. 1 gig up, 1 gig down? Simply incredible. Simply incredible. And, but I bet you what will happen to a lot of these business guys that have in-home businesses, they go, oh yeah, I need this. I need this for my home service. Holy smokes. It's huge. 1 gig up, 1 gig down. Man, makes you want to move to Kansas City. Simply incredible. Okay. I'm telling, doesn't that get you excited? This is going to, if Google could just ramp this up bigger, and bring this into more cities, this would drive major competition. I'll be curious to see what Time Warner is probably going to sue Google. I'm just going to be curious to see how this is going to happen. But if nothing else, There's going to be a lot of happy people on the internet here shortly. $70 is just incredible price for that. It really is. And some of you probably aren't paying that much for your internet now, but think about the speed. You know, I've got 3 megs up now and I'm ecstatic, you know, 3 megs and you're talking about only 3 megabit per second up and they're getting 1 gigabyte up. Wow. Really, wow. All right, let's completely switch topics. You know that big event that's going on in London right now that's live without any restrictions in 100 countries? That big event, did you know if you lived here in the United States, you have to prove that you are that you're a cable subscriber? Do you guys remember that NBC used to be over the air, right? Freely provided over the air service. Now, how are they going to, you have to authenticate yourself as a pay TV subscriber with both CNBC and MSNBC. If you got a basic analog package, you can't watch the Olympics live on the internet. Only in the United States, 100 countries are making the stream available for free. Now, if you go through, be honest with you, I'm not going to watch. You know, I just have no desire to. I don't even, be honest with you, at this point, I don't even, you know, after reading what you have to do to get access, pretty incredible. And for those folks that don't have a cable service or satellite dish and they're just getting stuff over the air, this is a huge slap in the face. Now, you can go to NBCOlympics.com. Oh, I wasn't supposed to say that word. And again, get authenticated. We'll see how many people really get authenticated and use the service. There are other apps out there available for you to check stuff out. Buddy TV, Shazam, PlayUp. Well, you get some of this information. Of course, there are some suggested applications. I'll have a link up to that in the show notes today. But immediately, NBC and IOC have already started to crack down on Olympic pirates. So, you know, the opening ceremonies of the 2012 event is going to be basically this coming Friday. So what you're going to end up having here is the IOC and NBC is going to be watching for people restreaming. And, you know, UTV and Justin TV are helping out by automatically detecting pirated content. But we know there are hundreds of other streaming services out there. Don't get caught. This could become very expensive for you to do that. But I'm sure there's going to be lots of sites that are doing it. But, you know, again, if you live in pretty much the rest of the world, let's see here. If you live in Asia, Africa, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Angola, Ivory Coast, Ethiopia, Zambia, you're going to, and if you live in the UK, you get free streams available. And this is the issue. It's because there's no free streams, people in the United States are going to pirate the heck out of this. So people just want to watch. Well, we'll watch your ads. You know, don't be stupid. But they want people to be have a cable box or a have a dish connection. Pretty ridiculous. Now, the folks over at TechDirt have written an article, and part of this I agree with and part of this I don't. I want to talk about let's talk about the title of this particular article first. It says Congress has lost all perspective when it considers prosecuting journalists as spies. And, you know, I'm looking at this, and this starts off talking about initially about WikiLeaks, talks about some other things that have happened. But then they go into talk about New York Times reporters. The EFF is warning some in Congress are now turning their sights on reporters at the New York Times for daring to publish newsworthy material dug up through traditional reporting means. In other words, they basically have expanded the definition here, putting reporters at risk. Now, what this is around is that when the president has used the Espionage Act to go after whistleblowers rather than spies, they feel that this Espionage Act is now potentially going to be used against reporters. At a House subcommittee hearing on the 11th of July, some members of Congress made it clear that they also want New York Times journalists charged under the Espionage Act for the recent stories on President Obama's kill list and the secret U.S. cyber attacks against Iran. During the hearing, House Republicans pressed legal experts Wednesday on whether it was possible to prosecute reporters for publishing this information, according to the Los Angeles Times. Now, they're saying that this information contained state secrets and should have been protected. So, you know, we all know that leaks, big and small, good and bad, have been happening for a long time. And we know that there might be some people that are leaking stuff inappropriately within the administration or even in the Senate and House. You don't know where all this stuff is coming from. And those folks should be hammered. But, you know, if they're leaking that, you go after the source of the leak. You don't go after the folks that have reported it after they've been told the information. So, I don't know. This is an interesting development. You know, I don't like to see anything that it should not be leaked. Obviously, you know, it's having spent 24 years in the Navy and have signed my life away from prospectively from telling what I learned during that time while I was in the Navy. I take that commitment very seriously. And there's very serious consequences for people that leak information like that, that they knowingly do so. You know, that's federal pen time. That's time to make little rocks, basically take big rocks and make them into little rocks, doing a hard time in federal penitentiary. So but to go after the reporters who acquired the information from, you know, those folks is a different issue. So, this is kind of a scary to think that a reporter who published something that would be a big scoop, even though the information was potentially contained state secrets, is pretty scary. But, you know, go after the source. And that's who they need to go after. You know, the Espionage Act, they need to go after those folks that are they're sharing that information that they're not supposed to. It's hard to say if that will ever happen or not, but I think they're doing some sort of a private or some sort of a some type of an attorney or something that's going to be looking into what's been going on. But it really makes you go, you know, it really does on the big scheme of things. All right, let's switch gears here and talk a little bit about piracy. The RIAA says online music piracy pales in comparison to offline swapping. Now, offline swapping is what I call sneaker netting of content. It's when people take a song that they may have bought or downloaded somewhere and share it with a friend, put it on a USB stick or stick it on a CD or DVD. This presentation that was leaked from the RIAA shows that online file sharing isn't the biggest source of illegal music acquisition. And if you look at the report here in 2010, as compared to 2011, 3% versus 4% was digital lockers. Hard drive trading in 2010 was 23%, whereas in 2011 it was 19%. Burning, ripping from other types of stuff, 21% in 2010, 27% in 2011. And if you get right down to peer-to-peer, 21% in 2010, 15% in 2011. So it shows you only 15%. And in their own report, and this came from NPD Digital Music Study, December 2010, 2011, It says that 15%, only 15% of the music being shared today is being done via peer-to-peer. So you got 27 plus 19, you know, so that's you know, 46%, 16, yeah, 46% is actually being shared via either SneakerNet, giving a CD, and or just hard drive trading. So how they're going to stop that? They're not. So a pretty telling report that's come out of NPD for the RIAA. And I just showed you guys this chart. It's pretty impressive. But I have the link in the show notes. This was an article over on TechDirt. So you definitely want to check that out. I want to welcome folks that are on the stream tonight. Thanks for being here, being part of the live show. And thanks for staying up late. I do appreciate it. There's a good report on nakedsecurity.sophos.com talking about Mac malware, which is spying on infected users through video and audio capture. The Morcut Mac OS X malware, also known as Crisis by some antivirus product, which was discovered this week, and this has been created with spying in mind, and its code includes hooks to control monitor the following operations on your Mac-operated computer. So first thing they do is they collect information on your mouse coordinates. Then they capture information from your instant messenger, for example, Skype, Adium, MSN Messenger, and so forth. They grab your location. They turn on your internal webcam. They look at your clipboard contents. They look at your key presses. They look at your running application, web URL, screenshots. They turn on your internal microphone. They collect data on your calendar, data and alerts. They get device information, and they pull down your address book contents. So basically, it's going to learn a lot about you. And Morcut is not supposed to have been in the wild at this point, but the threat is pretty low. But this will install without you doing a single thing. And they're not saying how it's being spread at this point, but this is something that Mac users should keep an eye on. And let you know that welcome to the club. You're now as susceptible to viruses and malware as PC users. Maybe not as much so, but it shows that you guys are becoming a bigger target. Now, that leads into talking about OS 10, 10.8 version Mountain Lion and how Mountain Lion's available up online, how you can go in $19.99, you can get the upgrade. Our writer at Geek News Central, KL, talked about getting ready for Mountain Lion. And wrote a nice little article talking about, number one, making sure your machine was compatible for it, talking about some other stuff you should do to, you know, back up your material, whether it be to the cloud or not. And so, you know, this is a nice little update. And I will say little update because for me, just not that many new features. Now, there are some cool things. They added dictation, reminders, message, and notes, to name a few. And but there is some stuff that's being added to the desktop for reminders and so forth. But definitely check it out. And I'm sure many of you have already upgraded. But you can go to the Apple Mountain Lion spec page to get a full list of machines that are basically ready for an update. And definitely check it out. So a lot of people are trying to download this. There's some people are saying downloads were taking as much as 3 and 4 hours. I think my download took about 40 minutes, which wasn't too bad. And I didn't start it until about 3 or 4 hours after the initial release. So it went pretty good for me, but probably about a total of maybe an hour and a half to do the upgrade. Now, Mountain Lion's Notification Center is probably one of the coolest features. And, you know, you got to do a little adjusting to it. Notification Center shows alerts in the upper right corner of your screen. And it really tries to not interrupt what you're doing. And there's some settings that you can make in the control panel, in the system preference panel. And you can actually select what's going on and how it alerts, how long it stays up, how many it shows you at one time. You can add different things to it. I think you can put RSS feeds and so forth. But so far, pretty nice little added feature. And you're able to keep the alert centralized as well. There's a way to log everything. But I have the full link up in the show notes. You can definitely check that out. Article over on Ars Technica talking about Lion's Notification Center and how you control it so it does not control you. All right, let's talk about a little bit about earnings reports. Amazon's quarter two 2012 earnings, net income down 96%. They only cleared $7 million. Net sales were up 29% to $12.8 billion. And if you think about that, with earnings only at 7%, I mean, $7 million was their total net income. That's pretty incredible. Now, their sales went up, but they did say that they had to take a couple of, just like Microsoft did, they had to take some hits, some one-time charges against the account. But, you know, if you're looking back at quarter two's performance, they had $260 million in basically standard profit. But to down to $7 million is a whopping 96%. But again, they did have that that charge against the account. Now, one thing that Amazon did say in the earnings call is they said that they're going to continue to raising the bar and spending on its cloud spending, basically spending on the cloud and improving that service. And I tell you, they got some fancy look here. We're doing the live stream tonight on Amazon Cloud. Brought that instance up in about 12 minutes from the time I started it. Had it up and ready to go because it's got to load and it's got to build the instance as it's getting ready. And that's kind of how Amazon works, like booting your computer up. But, you know, with Amazon not wowing the street, they had to have some sort of good news. And basically they've said, hey, we're going to continue to invest. We're going to spend $800 million to $900 million on technology improvements to the service. And that's up from $657 million. That they used to buy fixed assets, including software, the previous quarter. Amazon is obviously the market leader in cloud services. And, they really have set the bar pretty high. So we'll see what happens as they continue to improve it and build out the entire entire platform. But it's pretty impressive in how it can scale. And, you know, I'm basically running one of the smaller instances right now, but if I needed to do like an award ceremony like we do for podcast awards, I just pick their largest instance and using CloudFront, it doesn't even blink. It just handles it with no issue whatsoever, not even taxing the processor with CloudFront really helping with the distribution of the media. So some pretty cool stuff on what's going on with Amazon Web Services. And have to be a little geeky to use it, but other than that, pretty cool. Now, Facebook has posted their first earnings as a public company. They had $1.8 billion in revenue. So their first SEC filing came up a little short. Investors have whacked them pretty hard today. But the revenue is up 30% year over year and slightly better than what analysts were expecting, while GAAP net income set at a loss of $157 million. So basically, they had a net loss, even though they brought in $1.8 billion. They had $157 million loss. So now the company confirmed it has what they call 900, their MAU, monthly active users, was $955 million people. And here's how the breakdown was. And this is, I found pretty interesting. US and Canada, 246 million, Europe, 255. Asia, I read that wrong. 186 million in the U.S. and Canada, 246 million in Europe, 255 million Asia, and 268 million elsewhere. Daily active users in totaled 552 million for the same period, up 32% year over year, while mobile users now stand at 543 million, up 67% from last year. Not surprising with this huge chunk. Of course, 84% of the company's revenues come from advertising, again, which brought in $992 million. So that's interesting here. But So anyway, they got their full earnings report. Lots of sites are reporting on it and talking about it. So you can go read your own details, but we'll see how Facebook does as it moves forward. Hard to believe that they're able to make that kind of money. All right. Every once in a while, I see something online that I absolutely have to buy. Now, how many of you, all right, you may be showing your age, had a lava lamp? Now, I never had a lava lamp. I saw many lava lamps, but I want to show you guys the twist tube. And I'm thinking I'm just going to, they're $60. I'm thinking I'm going to have to get one of these just for the studio here because it's just too cool. Now, let me show you this in action for those of you who are watching. And it's not a lava tube, but it's basically, I don't know how they do this. And it's pretty cool. It stands 15 inches. It's width by 5 inches, weighs 14 pounds. Let me show you a different mode here. Red, white, green, Geek News Central green, and blue, purple, rainbow color. It changes colors on you. And it just looks like a twister. And they've got flame, stormy sky, lightning, some mystical, all kinds of cool. And I really haven't figured out exactly what this is. And, oh, it turns water. So there's water in there. You just don't know it. And then it turns the water so fast, it creates a vortex. Oh, man. $59.29. I'm going to order one. I just have to. This is just way too cool. It really is. And I can see all kinds of cool devices. And just have it here in the studio. Running during a show, put it back in the cabinet in the back. If nothing else, it's just something for you guys to watch at, except for watching me. So again, it's at twistertube.com. Really, I mean, it's a really cool product. It really is. Company I covered at CES is called Reward Tag. You guys remember this? If you haven't, I want to remind you what Reward Tag does is basically, you know, losing stuff sucks. It really does. And if you lose something, it ends up being a long day, long week, long month. You're out the money. So what they've got is it's a sticker that you place on whatever object you want to protect. And when it's in someone else's hands, they'll have the option to visit a website to enter the unique identifier code and see what the reward is offered for the device safe return. Now, you have to set how much you want to offer to and basically, you may convince someone to put the item in the mail and send it to you. You can also enter a personal message pleading your case. Now, you may not convince a thief who stole it because they stole it and want to resell it. But, if you have a phone that you've lost, you know, especially if it's an iPhone, you might want to put $150 on there, $200 or whatever the number may be. And all they have to do is go there. So definitely check out rewardtag.com. Pretty cool product. All right. How many of you have more than a couple of credit cards? I basically use my credit card of choice on essentially everything. Now, I will say this in advance. We pay the bill off every month. It's very rarely that I leave a little bit outstanding balance. Very rarely. Maybe if I may buy a big item, we'll leave a little bit of a balance over a couple of months if we're paying something off. But generally, for everyday items, if I'm buying gas or if I'm putting whatever it may be, go to the convenience store, it all goes on a credit card. And the reason it goes on a credit card is we use it with our rewards. Basically, have a get miles for airline miles, and choosing the right credit card is challenging enough. But if you've got a number of credit cards, buying through the right shopping portal can save you a lot of money. There's a website called credit-land.com. They've compiled a huge guide to the best way to pay for purchases at over 18 major retailers. And basically, if you shop at any of these, this is kind of a cool way to, maybe save yourself some money here. they've got an info chart with all the information. I'll have a link up in the show notes, and it just tells you this is the card you should use. If you know, for example, if you shop at JCPenney, it talks about what you earn as you buy stuff, and do you get additional payments? Talks about potentially using a Discover or a Blue Cash preferred card or Chase Ultimate Rewards card. You know, it's all these different cards that people get. And I don't own department store cards anymore. My wife has a couple, I think. But this is a good way to look and see if you can save extra cash just by using the credit card in the store of choice. And sometimes, you know, what they do, you know, like Macy's here in Hawaii, oftentimes if you charge it on your Macy's card, they will give you like an additional 5% off. Because, you know, what they're hoping is you're not going to pay the credit card off at the end of the month, and they're going to make more money on you by collecting interest. So here's the key. You know, if you really want to maximize your savings, you look at this chart, depending on where you're going to shop, which one you're going to use, and you know, use that wisely, you could save 5, 6, 7, 10% on every purchase you make from depending on where you're shopping at. But pay that bad boy off, because if you don't, within just 1 or 2 months, you've lost your advantage and you're actually paying more for the product than what you paid for, which none of us like to do. We always shop for this great deal. You know, that, you know, it kills me, you know, because I've got friends who go out and spend literally thousands of dollars for Christmas gifts, and they go everywhere they can to save money. They'll drive 5 miles to save $5. And then in June, they're still complaining to me that they're paying off their Christmas bill. And I'm thinking, you know, that running around you did to save money, and you're still paying off your credit card for your Christmas stuff. You know, this is all completely washed at this point. So anyway, this is up on lifehacker.com. I'll have a link up for you in the show notes. All right, gamers out there, boy, you need a faster refresh monitor. Are you ready to get one that has 120 hertz refresh rate? ASUS has breakthrough the 120 hertz refresh rate with the VG2788HE gamer monitor. And this thing will go all the way up to 144 hertz for 2D and 3D gaming. It includes an HDMI, dual link DVI, and VGA. The monitor also supports the NVIDIA 3D Vision 2. And there's no pricing yet, but it's going to hit shelves sometime in Q4. So I'm sure the price is going to be woohoo to get this bad boy. But what a wonderful update to a monitor line, getting up to 144 hertz on the refresh rate. For you gamers, that's very important, I know. Hey, Sprint is bringing 4G LTE to 4 more cities on Labor Day. So if you live in Baltimore, Gainesville, Georgia, Manhattan Junction City, Kansas, and Sherman Denson, Texas, you're going to get to LTE Alive by Labor Day, which is, of course, September 3rd. If you've got an Android device, Google Handwrite announced for phones and tablets, write out your Google searches. So you just bring up the Google page on your Android phone, and you write in your search and hit search, and it'll basically interpret your handwriting. And you don't have to type it in. Handwrite is currently available for those of you that have Android 2.3 plus phones, Android 4.0 tablets, oh, and iOS 5 devices. So that's cool. They made it available for iOS 5 as well. And again, talk about apps for the Android for London Olympics. There's a number of them. There, of course, is the official Olympics app. And then a variety, there's a London 2012 official mobile game. There's NBC Olympics Android Central. There's BBC Olympics. There's Bell Mobile TV. So a number of apps, stuff available for you to, oh, I said that word again, the O word. So I definitely have that link up in the show notes. Hey, if you're an Instagram user, of course, there's a new update to their app today. But they've also had a falling out with Twitter. You no longer can find your friends within Instagram. So you'll have to find your Twitter friends on Twitter versus finding them on Instagram. They lock them out of that specific part of the API. You know, every once in a while I'll see a cool article and I wish I could see one of these go boom. But you guys remember about those mega bunker buster bombs? Well, the Air Force has apparently got a new one ready to go. It says Air Force Mega Bunker Buster Bomb is finally ready. And this has been probably in work for a long time. And they call it the Massive Ordnance Penetrator. It's got 30,000 pounds of mass, and it's ginormous. But they've been working on this super-sized bunker buster for years. And supposedly, according to this Wired article, can penetrate 60 feet of reinforced concrete. All that depends on how hard that concrete is. The Pentagon has spent over $200 million developing only 30 of them. And so anyway, they say they're ready to rock and roll with this. And so I probably haven't put any videos out on this, but it'd be cool to see one of these go boom, definitely from the outside and a long ways away. But they've done a couple explosive tests, but I don't think there's any videos out. Hey, Europe, you live in Europe? Did you know that there's illegal immigrants at sea? Well, Europe wants drones to spot illegal immigrants. So the European Union wants new technologies like satellites and drones to monitor illegal immigrants coming from Africa. As part of a $410 million proposal, they basically want to keep people from crossing over. And just like, okay, I'm sure that'll be effective. $410 million. There's got to be a cheaper way to do that. Russian government passed some censorship bills, kind of like SOPA. So right after it's passed, of course, this is not this big intrusive censorship bill, right? Well, it began blocking livejournal.com immediately. This is the country's largest blogging community, and all because of one site. On July 18th, local law enforcement formed a court, a Russian court, about a Pat Index, a neo-Nazi blog it found on LiveJournal during a sweep. The blog's hateful message violates Russia federal laws against extremism because it's Bill 89417-6. So the court basically ordered the internet providers to block it. So one site got blocked, 84,000 sites got took down, and, you know, Homeland Security here in the United States has done that as well when they knocked out a number of websites a number of years ago, too. So the Russians are at it as well. Hey, the Germans booted up today. It's the world's most powerful x86 supercomputer. So this is the fourth most powerful computer in the world. It's called the SuperMUC. It's ranked fourth again. It contains 147,456 cores using Intel Xeon 2.7 gigahertz, 8-core E5-2680 chips. IBM built the supercomputer, and it includes more than 155,000 processor cores. And so anyway, this thing is able to, let me read this here. Department of Supercomputer at Lawrence Livermore National Labs is the world's most powerful on the 16-core 1.6 gigahertz power BQC chips. So anyway, fourth largest up and running. I wonder what the power bill is to run that bad boy. Hey, NASA has been able to get a key review done on its giant rocket for deep space travel. This the SLS architecture is basically moving forward. So, of course, the SLS stands for NASA's Space Launch System. And, of course, this is being managed by the Marshall Space Flight Center in Huntsville, Alabama. So they've done some tests of the engines and so forth. But this thing's going to be massive, and it's going to be fun to see this thing launch whenever they get it ready. It'll kind of rival the days of Saturn rockets and so forth. How many of you use Yammer? And, you know, I saw this article today says Microsoft paid $1.2 billion for Yammer. And I'm like, I don't even know what Yammer is. So I was trying to figure out, okay, they spent all this money for Yammer. And it basically, all it is a private social network for your company. It allows you to collaborate securely across departments, geographies, continent, and business applications. And companies like DHL, Shell, SuperValue, 7-Eleven, Razorfish, I guess 200,000, some companies use it. But here's the interesting part. It's free still. So here they bought $1.2 billion on Yammer, and they're giving it away for free. Now, I guess they've got premium services. That's how they're getting people to make money on this thing. But and I wasn't even familiar with it. Any of you guys using Yammer out there? If you are, I'd love to hear from you. Drop me an email, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. All right, moving on here to my next topic. Did you just buy a Mac? Well, apparently, Mac owners that just recently purchased a Mac since June 1st are not happy that they have not gotten their missing OS X upgrade codes. It's only been a couple of days, and these people are freaking out. So new Mac owners have taken to Twitter and basically been grousing about not getting the redemption code for their free copy. It's $19.99, folks. So 36 hours after the launch, no redemption codes have been sent. Apple's saying, hey, it may take another 24 hours or so. But people are really upset. Are they that upset that they can't upgrade this quick? So that's according to Computer World. People are very upset. All right, a Black Hat conference. Apple security guru lays out iPad, iPhone crypto architecture. So any of you that are into cryptology, into how operating systems protect themselves. A top Apple security guru went through it and did an in-depth view into the security architecture of iOS. And some interesting read here. And there's a slideshow for it as well. But talks about how when you lock your phone, how it actually encrypts your email. It only unencrypts it when you've unlocked your phone and got into it. It's just some pretty cool stuff that the iPhone does that I was obviously not aware of. Hey, ours is talking about the podcast app has been updated by Apple, and they were really looking at it closely, considering it didn't get that many rave reviews on its initial offering more than a month ago. So we know that there's been an update here, and that there's basically some fixes that they have put in place. So let me read the improvements. They basically, significant improvements to performance and stability. Podcasts in your library now show the number of unplayed episodes. Top stations now show podcast title if artwork is missing. And you know, you only see 5 in each top station, which sucks. Playback speed is now remembered when playing the next episode. They fix a problem for where the subscribe button is inactive. And they resolved an issue where top station artwork may not appear. And what we were having trouble with is when people would come to Geek News Central, press subscribe on it, it would not, it was somehow giving an error. And people couldn't subscribe from the homepage. And I'd reached out to our Apple rep, and they knew, basically, we were the ones to help instigate that fix. But not a lot of positive things being said by the folks over at ours. I have yet to download the update and mess with it. So I'll probably do that on the next show. We'll talk about it a little bit. But make sure you go out and update your iPhone app. And of course, while you're at it, make sure you're subscribed to Geek News Central. All you can do is search for it, Geek News Central. Click the subscribe button, and I hope it works to get you in there on your mobile device. You know, Washington, D.C. have published a new policy yesterday where they say a member of the police department shall not implicitly or explicitly coerce consent to take possession of any recording device or information thereon. And this is a new order that was released yesterday, but just 24 hours after the new camera policy was released, Metropolitan Police Department of Washington, D.C. took a guy's phone after he was filming some police officers that were allegedly beating up on a perp that they were arresting. So they took his memory card out of it and gave him his phone back after an amount of time. So they still kept the recording. So just goes to show you, the memo did not go out to everyone in Washington, D.C. All right, I had to take a shot of water here. intern report. Now, check this out. This is a good one. An intern report by the International Recording Industry Group, IFPI, vindicates Mega Upload's claim that it made good faith effort to remove infringing materials from its site. So early this week, a copy of the report was discovered on the IFPI website. Now, amazingly, that report was taken down, but not before a number of folks got screenshots of it and grabbed a copy of it. The report written by IFPI's head of Internet Anti-Piracy Operation talks about a bunch of piracy-related topics. But guess, if you look at this list, here were the top 10. And this was basically the sites that were the most infringing. Filesonic.com, wupload.com/.co.uk, fileserve.com, foreshared, rapid share, hulk share. And you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six site before megaupload.com is listed. But if you look at FileSonic, they're like just about 50%. Then you get to WUpload, they're probably another 25%. FileServe is maybe a 15% slice. RapidShare is a 15% slice. You get down to MegaUpload, and it looks like maybe they have about a 7 or 8% slice of the infringement. So they weren't the most infringing. And that's incredible. Now, here's the interesting part. .com told ours that MegaUpload relatively modest share of infringing URLs was significant because his site was the world's largest locker site in 2011. All of the other file hosters in the list were significantly smaller than MegaUpload, he said. MegaUpload had 1.5 terabytes of bandwidth utilization before it was shut down. The next largest was RapidShare, who only had about 800 gigabits, which is quite a big difference. So, but if IFPI says they weren't the biggest infringer, kind of goes along in saying that maybe the MegaUpload folks were taking down stuff as they were being asked to. Switching topics, you know, every once in a while I find some cool stuff. And you're always looking for stuff to spice up an office or a bedroom. And, you know, I'm not the artsy-fartsy type of guy, but every once in a while I see some cool stuff. It's like that lamp or that tornado thing we talked about earlier. But a Brazilian designer has come up with a lamp called the Luminaire. And basically what it is, it's a message board. Basically, you can put on post-it notes, and it's really cool. It's made of cork. It's got a light, just standard light bulb jack, a little on-off switch. You can use a CFL light in it. But basically, you put notes on the light, and you have it on your desk, and you know, reminders, pictures, little scribbles, whatever you want. So, kind of a cool little product. Don't know what the price of it is, but it's this kind of stuff that just kind of makes you smile when see people being innovative and putting up cool products like that. Twitter was broken big time. Apparently, they had issues in their data center where two items of almost the same infrastructure broke, which caused the site to come tumbling down. So if you had troubles yesterday, that was the problem. Samsung sold 50.5 million smartphones in the second quarter, almost twice that of Apple. So that's huge, huge number of smartphones. Hey, over on Life Hacker, have you ever got a check at a restaurant and the tip's been added already? You know, I understand it for big parties, but for small, just one or two people, it really makes me mad that they do that. Just pay attention to your checks out there when you don't double tip. Sometimes it's being added on and you really don't notice it until later. So be aware of that. All right, I've got two things tonight. One, let me just finish up here and I'll talk about the two things. You know, we've had a lot of stuff in the news here as of late over the, the issue that was going on in, not in Denver, but Aurora. But, you know, I want to be semi-sensitive to that because, you know, it's still people are reeling from those losses and will be for a long time. But I want to point out the guys know that there is these 3D printers now, right? And so people now are doing all kinds of crazy stuff with these 3D printers. Now they're not CNC machines. They're actually generally doing composite printing. But over at Hackaday, at Hackaday.com, some guy built a 3D, usually 3D printed a lower receiver for an AR-15. And it looks pretty real. And so if any of you do any of this 3D printing, of course, some of the stuff that it's the printers that are making the type of stuff is from like Make and so forth. But this type of stuff will get people killed. You know, you look at the color of it and the workmanship and it looks like the real deal. So, you know, be aware out there. Okay. And be careful. You know, if you're building this kind of stuff and you're out and flaunting it in public, it just looks too real. It looks like it's metal and, it's kind of, makes you go, So, anyway, link will be up in the show notes. And also, last article I want to do is, this is totally cool. For those of you that are listening, this will be a waste of time. So what I'm going to do is I'm not going to play it until, let me go into the emails and cover that first. And then I'll play this video at the end so those that are listening won't be bored for 3 minutes. But I have got a treat for you beyond belief. It's a smart trash box. And it was made by a guy in Japan. It's all done with, you'll see it. But let me go ahead and do the email first and we'll come back and I'll roll the video at the very end. I don't know how much we had in comments that have come into the show. Today is the 26th. Last show is on the 23rd. It looks like I thought I had gotten an email from Andrew. Maybe. Let me look here. Let me make sure I got my dates right. Oh, yeah, I got more stuff than that. Let me look at what I've got that has come in. And that, yeah. So what I've got here, got an email from Jeff. He said, "Hey, Todd, one of your friends shared an article with you, basically through New Republic." He said, "Hey, Todd, redesign iPod 13-inch Retina MacBook Pro and new iMac coming in September." So I've got the link up in the show notes on that. I know we've been expecting something like this, Jeff. Thanks. Appreciate the link for that. Got an email here from one of our fans named Char. He says, "Hey, please be aware of a call scam with Amy Admin. You can check the review of them and see that they're seemingly trying to get into your system. Hackers, of course, very smart. They say they're calling from Microsoft because your system is sending an error message and you have viruses." So we've talked about this two or three times on the show, but I continue to get stuff from fans saying this is like, I think this is the third email that I've got from a fan basically saying this is an issue. So this is out there happening large now, folks. So be careful, okay? Got an email here from MS Small Biz. And he says, "Hey, I just want to drop a couple of comments into one email instead of filling your inbox." He says, "First of all, on the Skype backdoor issue, let's remember that Microsoft bought Skype. And after doing so, made changes in both the code and pushed the use of Microsoft-owned supernodes, which Microsoft, of course, says was made to Skype better and more stable. Second, the feds have dictated to all telcos that they shall make it so all communication devices can be tapped. So let's look back at all the trouble Microsoft has had with the feds in the past. And using some basic logic, do we really think Microsoft would want to pick a fight with them again? I'm not saying Microsoft has created such a backdoor, but anyone thinking Microsoft or any other company doing business in the U.S. would directly challenge a government right now probably needs a reality pill. Next subject, as you mentioned when at CES and elsewhere, you need to carry a ton of gear around during the day. Have you looked at the Maxpedition sling packs? These are shoulder packs which sling to the front, giving easy access to all pockets and gear without having the pockets open upside down, spilling all your goods. There are a couple of sizes. I think the Sitka will probably be the best for most uses." So I'm going to load this up here and we'll take a look at it. And this is an interesting pack. So let me show you guys this. Again, this is a link that came from MS Small Biz. This is not a cheap pack, $138. But, dude, that's slick. That might be the ticket. I really think it may. So that's awesome. So let me see what else he has to say here. He says, you may also lean towards the Gear Slinger. And let me bring this one up. They don't have such a fancy graphic on this one. And actually, it's black. I kind of like that. And here's the Gear Slinger. So again, it's a shoulder pack, but you can put water in there and other stuff. So definitely want to check both these products out. Again, by Maxpedition. It's at maxpedition.com. That second bag was $163. But believe me, you get a good bag, it's no big deal. He says, by the way, they come with a concealed carry pocket. Well, here in Hawaii, no concealed carry. Well, you can, but chief of police hasn't given anyone concealed carry in 25 years. He goes on to say, lastly, I emailed a few backs about how stressful flying is and questioned how you can stand it even in first class and wonder if you'd had the new American Airlines design for transcontinental flights. If not, you've got to take a look at business first class designs for these planes. I'm taking privacy seating. I'm talking full laydown seats and even turn down service for first class. Check these out. And he gives me a link to a YouTube video for the new 777 American Airbus 777 seating layouts. And I'll have that linked up in the show notes. But be honest with you, I'm a United guy. So we'll not be flying on American, but when we fly international, they're going to have their new aircraft out soon, and they're going to have basically the same type of seating. But first of all, going from coach to business, I usually have to use a lot of points, regional upgrades or whatever to do that, which is cool. On international flights, there's coach, business, and first. Most of us will never be in first class on an international flight. And there's really usually not that big of a delta. But anyway, it's only done business on international flights. It's fine. The seats are big enough. The service is fantastic. Believe me, it's no matter what, it's better than being in coach. You know, I'm not too good to sit in coach because I have quite a bit this year already. But it is nice to get the upgrade. When I can. I'm only like 5K short of 100,000 miles this year. So I know that travel is going to start picking up again, probably starting next month sometime. So we'll be well over 100K, but most of the stuff is domestic. I don't think I'm going anywhere international, which is good. Got an email here from Andrew. He said, hey, Todd, I may have missed if you covered this, but I thought that this 170-degree display is very cool. And let me bring this up with from Gizmodo. Oh, I think I covered this a while. This is a recent article, but let me show this to the audience. This thing is, for those of you that are gamers, it's pretty cool, but it doesn't cost very much. It's only cost $114,000, Andrew. You know, inexpensive. So thanks for that link. You want to buy me one? Donate to the show and we'll have an auction and, you know, basically pay the expenses for the next year. But anyway, he says, I think you could create a similar feel with a single projector, probably rear projected, for much less dollar signs. And of course, Andrew, it's dollar sign. You know, that's a lot of, it's a lot of dollars for $114,000. Someone that has more money than common sense would buy one of those. Okay, I also got an email here from Alan. He says, hey, Todd, here's some pretty cool space news. Astronomers discover alien solar system, much like our own. Astronomers discovered an alien solar system that looks very much like our own. According to the scientists, the discovery suggests that all solar systems may start out looking very similar. The solar system in question is called Kepler-30 and is only just a minor 10,000 light years from Earth. The solar system is three known worlds, all orbiting in the same plane aligned with the rotation of its star. So it goes in to give more information about that. So, Alan, thanks for that. I have that link up in the show notes for everyone to check out. All right, before I start this video that I wanted to show you guys that are actually listening, I do want to thank everyone else that's, or want to show this video for those watching versus those are listening. For all of you that are, been basically hung out here to the end of the show tonight, thanks so much for doing so. Thanks for being part of our Ohana. Thanks for being longtime listeners and viewers of the show. I greatly appreciate it. Thank you for your continued contributions to the Insider program at geeknewscentral.com/insider. My goal is, as we move the show forward, I'd like to get to a point where we could have the show, if we needed to, be 100% sponsor free. Sponsors have been fantastic, and they have allowed us to do what we can do. My family gets to eat because of the sponsors. But really, at some point, as we move forward with the show and as we head towards, show 1,000, we're really not that far from it's just a couple of years away from show 1,000. I'd like to get to a point where we could shift the focus of the show just a little bit. And the only way we're going to do that is to really have enough insiders on board where I can, if I need to opt to, I can opt out of some of having advertisers. And again, don't get me wrong, I appreciate our advertisers, and I want you guys to continue to support them, because we need to get to that point together. And it's going to take a while, because everyone's used to having getting the show for free and have been listening now. We're fast approaching, the time in October when this show will officially be 8 years old. And, that's saying a lot. I've put a lot of work in the show for all of you guys and work forward. And I know maybe you guys get a little annoyed at this type of discussion, but really the goal is as we move forward and into the next 10 years of the show, it'd be nice to have a higher level of stability for the show month to month, and make life definitely easier for me and be able to focus on the content a lot more. And as much as, again, don't get me wrong, I love the sponsors, but it is going to get to, I'd like to get it to a different stage. And the only way we can do that is continued support. I will continue to do my best job that I can in producing this show for you twice a week, bringing you great content. And I hope that you guys appreciate it. I love bringing the show to you, and I want to thank you all for your continued support. Well, we'll see you next time. Again, geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. Twitter's @geeknews. Of course, again, my name is Todd Cochran here at Geek News Central. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. And by the way, hang out, because we're going to play the video now for those of you watching. Everyone else, aloha. And let me go ahead and load this so that I can bring this over here. And doesn't have a lot of audio to it, but wait till you guys see this video. So here it comes. Let me explode it for you. And I'm purposely not playing the audio, because I'm afraid the audio is going to cause the to bust a copyright violation. But check this out. Guy's pretty good with CAD or whatever he was using. So what I find very cool is he's using a Sony remote control, a PlayStation game controller, to check out all the servos and the motors and everything. And he's running it back across the floor with the, you know, with the remote, basically the game control from Sony. The telling thing is what they're going to show you on the wall here in a second. He writes the code to basically, there's the Kinect. So he mounts a Kinect on the wall and builds himself a trash can to go on the robot. And what you're going to see next is totally cool. Using rechargeable AA batteries. I think that's funny too. Here comes the trash. And he's throwing the trash at it. It's automatically knowing where to go to find it. Now he's going, what's he going to throw next? He's going to throw a ball. And it moves pretty fast. It catches it. Next is an empty beer can. Boom. Gotta have one of these. Very, very smart. And so if that wasn't cool, nothing was. That's using your brains and building a cool robot to build a smart trash box. Okay, thanks for hanging out for that last part of that video. We'll see you next time. Everyone take care. Bye-bye.